Hey everybody, Shane Presley with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them over there at the Dodd Zach Building in the Grand Center area, right here in St. Louis, Missouri. They come by this Friday and every Friday, July 28th. They'll have new records in store from Alice Cooper, Arcade Fire, Iron Maiden, Rings of Saturn, and a whole lot more. Find a full listing of details and shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Also this year, Music Record Shop is the official record store of Lutefest 2017. So get involved, go on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram and follow them along and figure out how you can win some free Lutefest tickets coming up. So get involved, support local, shop local. Check out musicrecordshop.com. This episode of Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Gigabit Rocks. Check it all out at gigabitrocks.com. They're one of the best online tools for meeting artists regionally and nationwide, and they want to help you plan your next tour. It's essentially a great tool for networking and linking up with artists all over the country, and then they can help you pack your next show in their city. So reach out on gigabitrocks.com. Check them all out on your social media, your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And whether you want a gigabit more or a gigabit less, one thing's for sure, Gigabit Rocks.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
It's so hard for me to not say you're Tony.
No, wait a minute. You're Tony? I'm Phil. Right?
Wait. No, wait. What?
No, don't do that at all.
All right, go ahead. Or, Will, are you starting?
Hey, guys. I'm Phil Wright.
I'm Tony Bertolio.
You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast. Woo!
That just clipped.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today at Old Rock House in St. Louis with Phil Wright.
Yep.
And Tony Bertolio. Is that how you say it right?
It's close enough.
Yeah.
Good enough for government work.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, guys.
Oh, it's good to be back, man.
Yeah, this is fun. We are hanging out here. We got a few beverages. We were just jamming to some Kid Rock, like you do. And
woo, Grand City.
But yeah, we got a big show coming up this week on August 10th.
Yeah,
you can come see Phil Wright with Alligator Wine, and you got a bunch of special guests joining you. But this is all part of a Citywide Sounds series, I guess. You guys have been doing like once a month show?
Yeah, it's just a monthly showcase that we put together. And it's I guess this is fourth or fifth one, I think, somewhere in there. It's still really new.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, how'd this idea come about, this starting up this series or whatever you want to call it?
I was thinking about that earlier when I was on my way here, and I was trying to think about exactly how it started. And I think what happened was we had a show cancel with I can't remember who it was or who the show was that canceled, but what happened was the talent buyers here, Erica Durbin and John Metz, came to me and were like, hey, do you know any local people that would want to play a show here? So what I ended up doing was I had always had this idea to get Scrub and Moff together because alone they're incredible. And so I thought it'd be awesome to get those two dudes together on set. And so ended up booking those two on a show. And I instantly jumped on a message on Facebook and with both of them included and was like, hey, I think it'd be awesome if Moff spun this set for you, Scrub, and let's get you into the Old Rock House and stuff like that. And they were totally about it, and then we added Alexis Tucci to it, and we also added Matthias and the Pirates to it. So it ended up just being an awesome show.
Yeah.
And that was before we had it branded as Citywide Sounds. At that point, it was just a random local show. And then after that, we ended up pairing with Four Hands across the street. And they've been a great partner and everything, and so they provide beer every night for all these shows and everything, and they help us promote and everything. And so after that, it was a huge success, and it just kind of moved on from there.
Yeah.
So we had a lot, and kind of the whole goal was to just bring a lot of different musicians together that sometimes maybe wouldn't play together or wouldn't typically play here, things like that. Just kind of, it's really just a celebration of the local scene.
Definitely, man. So. Yeah,
it's been pretty diverse too, right? I mean, like, yeah. you've had, I know we're doing the Dead thing this week, but right. I know you've had Big Mike, and like you said, you've had Scrub Moth, and you've kept it different. And you were talking about the ones coming up, which I'll say anything about it, but it sounds awesome too.
Typically it's a different theme every month, which is kind of why when I approached you, I was like, just kind of take this. I know you're kind of a Grateful Dead fan, so I thought you might want to do something like that. But I knew that you would be able to run with it with a good idea on something to do. But yeah, we try and keep it themed. That first one was kind of hip hop oriented. The second one was singer songwriter night, which just the overall energy of it was just so incredible. It was Gavin from Daisy Ed with me. Yeah. Emily Wallace was a part of it. Amber Skies. Leah Osborne. I feel like there were one or two other people, I'm sure. It'll probably come to me when we're talking, and I'll just yell
it out.
I'll just yell a random name. But it just, the overall energy was just absolutely incredible.
Tom Niedenhuber.
Yeah. My Uncle Hal. Yeah, so it was great. Just the overall energy was just incredible. Everybody had such a good time, and you're not gonna play one of these shows and then go play Madison Square Garden or anything like that. It's literally just meant to everybody get together and just have a relaxed, fun time on a cool stage in a cool room with great beer from Four Hands just being given to you to come play music.
Had me at Four Hands.
Yeah. They've been doing a lot to support the city and support music and stuff, and I think that's just awesome. I mean, I threw a party at the beginning of July, and they, you know, were happy to be a sponsor and support it too. And so, they definitely are awesome to work with for sure.
Yeah, they're incredible. And what's really awesome about this is every ticket that's sold, or it's not really tickets, or just everybody that comes through the door, $1 of their admission fee goes to whatever foundation or charity Four Hands is paired with at the time. And I believe right now it is LaSalle Park currently. And it's just a really great way. I mean, it's all the way around, it's just a great thing, I personally think, for the city, because we're bringing together different musicians in different areas, and then we're coupling with a great local brewery, and then that brewery is doing a great job of giving back to the community. And I would love to take all the credit for these great ideas. I just had the idea of doing this local music showcase, but then everyone in our office here came up with these great ideas of hey, let's get Four Hands on board. Let's do these different ideas with Four Hands, and let's get some money back into the community and things like that. And then the name itself, Citywide Sounds, I'm not nearly creative enough to come up with that name.
Well, the cool thing about the Citywide thing is that, Citywide, they're APA, and now they've got a Pilsner and I think a lager that comes out of it. They're not shy about their activism with Four Hands, which I respect, but it's not like it's never been aggressive. But, the Citywide beer itself is it's linked to multiple different charities, including St. Louis Greenway, and I'm not going to throw some rides, I'm not going to try, but there's several different charities that the Citywide beer is actually linked to. Besides the fact that the side of the can says pairs well with pork steaks and toasted ravioli, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
Four Hands has done a lot to support music in St. Louis. They always help us out with Phil Palooza, of course, and then when we were doing the JMO Jamborees, which Tony was associated with as well, of course, back at the Oyster Bar. The good old days. Four Hands was our sponsor for that, too. And, they were... And talking to Kevin and those guys over there, they're quick to jump out, sure thing, whatever you need, man, do it. Yeah. And that's the kind of people they are.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, they're great. They just, at a moment's notice, I think on the last one we did, they had forgot to bring the beer over for the bands, and all we did was just send them a message, and somebody came literally running across the street with cases of beer in their hands for us. So They're incredible to work with, and not to mention the beer is really good too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've been a great partner in all of this. It's been pretty incredible all the way around.
Very cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, so we got the big party this Thursday night. You can come see Alligator Wine, part of Citywide Sounds. And this is not just a regular city or regular Alligator Wine set. You guys are bringing along a bunch of special guests.
Yeah, it's also for those that are in the Grateful Dead scene in St. Louis or in the Midwest, or anywhere really. August 1st would have been Jerry Garcia's 75th birthday, and August 9th is the anniversary of his death. So every year that 9-day stretch is always kind of referred to as the days between or Jerry week, even though it's longer than a week. And so we did a birthday show with Spanky and joining us at Pops and Moon the other night. We had a huge crowd, had a great time, and then we'll close out kind of the Jerry Week thing with the show here on the 10th. And so for that show, we're going to do an acoustic set. We're going to have Matt McKibbeny from the Blue Skies and Grass-Fed Mule join us in fiddle for that set. We'll do an acoustic set. We've got kind of music from the Dead. Olden in the Way, Jerry Garcia Band, kind of all worked in. And then we have an electric set for the second set. And we'll have Stu Williams and Jim Rossi from the Sliders and from Chuck Berry and Johnny Johnson's band, who also did a lot of work with Little Feet and Rat Dog, Bob Weir's side project. We'll have them joining us for the second set. And the whole time we have Al Holiday, our good friend Al Holiday, on the keys, playing piano and organ and everything in between. And what I'm kind of psyched about this thing is that, like, I know Al comes at the Dead thing a little bit different because he's literally learning the music is he's going along, like, he has an appreciation for it, of course, but you know, he didn't grow up like me or Joe or Sean and Alligator Wine did, where, like, this is what we've listened to since we were kids. So I always like to hear that kind of perspective. And so I know Matt's been around the scene for a while. I know Stu and Jim have played this music, but it's not necessarily their background either. So I think it's always fun when you bring those type of people together. I mean, even in our own band, Carson Mann, who's, you know, a fantastic guitarist, and with Scandal Arrows with us and with Alligator Wine both, is literally coming at Jerry in a different way because it's not he grew up doing. So he's learning the material to a certain degree as well. So every night it feels fresh, I guess, because we're not just kind of putting out the same show. We're not putting out the same you know, type of stuff and everything like that. So we're keeping it fresh, and I like having that sort of new spin and that new sort of approach to it. But yeah, this kind of closes out the Jerry Week or
right.
Days Between. That's a whole different party. End of Days, but dark there.
It's very real.
Yeah, it's very 6:20. It's very 6:23 p.m. right now. So not even dark 30. It's funny though, because
good luck with your show tonight.
It's gonna be great. So Tony called me about this like, I don't know, like 2 months ago, right?
Yeah, we were able to plan this one pretty far out. I was really glad about it because some of these nights have been rushed because it's still so new to us. And I knew that you and I were going to do something together for this at some point. And like I previously stated, I thought you were a fan of the Grateful Dead, so I kind of knew what direction we were going to head in.
You can hear the air quotes when he says "thought." It's funny. All
right.
So like I knew the direction we were going to head with it, and I had no idea. The way it kind of all fell together was just perfect because I called you about it, and then you were like, that's perfect because that's pretty much the end of the Jerry week.
Right.
And so it just kind of all fell together perfectly. So,
I think you actually said it's one of the first weekends in August, and I go, first Thursdays in August. Yeah. I said, if it's August 10th, I said, we can definitely do it. Because I want to make sure there's a way to make it. We play a lot in both bands, and you know, I love playing the Rock House, but at the same time, I want to make sure if we're going to do it, we're going to have the type of crowd that's going to make it, you know, a fun show. It's going to make it worthwhile for everybody. And, you know, I was like, we need to have a way to spin this to something different than just regular Alligator Wine or regular, like, Scandal Arrow show. Because we didn't know for sure which band we were going to do it first.
Right.
I think you guys ended up doing, like, a general jam theme night.
Yeah. And kind of like what we used to do at the Oyster Bar with the Jam-O Jamboree.
Yeah, exactly. But then, kinda, yeah. You wanted me to focus more on the quote-unquote jam band stuff at that point. And I was like, well, we can do that, or we can just do this thing since it's a play in a Grateful Dead tribute band and it's a Cherry Week thing. We can kind of make this all tied together. And so it really came together. I was actually driving to a gig and got out of the car and said, Joe and Carson met me in the parking lot, and I go, "Hey, you guys want to play at the Rock House on the 10th, and we'll do like the end of the Jerry thing?" Yeah, we will. So like, I texted you back later tonight. Yeah, we're good for it.
Yeah, so, I think we pretty much, the day, as soon as we started talking about it, I think we had it hammered out in like literally like less than 2 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy.
That's cool.
And which is pretty incredible, because they normally, these things normally don't fall together that quickly for me. And it's still something new. Like, I had one where had a band that was going to do it but ended up not being able to. I won't name what band it was, Sean Kimball or Danny Blaze or Josh Eaker. But it was, we're going to get those guys in here at some point. But they canceled, and so we had to scramble and get something put together real quick, which was great, because got worked with a band on that, which got something really cool in the works with that I don't want to give too much away yet. But the one of the bands that filled in on that ended up being awesome. But yeah, they typically don't come together that well, and I'm also glad that this kind of fell together the way it did for the end of the Jerry week, because one of the things with this is that this is a type of show where you get a certain percentage of the door, so if a bunch of people don't show up, or a decent amount doesn't show up, then unfortunately the bands aren't going to get paid a lot. But the whole focus of this is not to make a ton of money. Like I said, you're not going to go play Madison Square Garden after this. This is just to come together as a community and just have fun and I don't know, just a really great way to bring a bunch of different people together in a cool place and have a good time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just, you can't go into it being a diva like I know these guys are going to.
Yeah. So demanding. What's that? You got four hands of beer? Sure. Right.
Yeah, we'll be there, whatever.
Cool, man.
But I am glad the way this fell together, because I think we'll have a really strong turnout. And I know that'll bode well with how many people are playing and all that,
sure,
too. So.
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing about the guys we asked to play is that, I mean, everybody's about putting on, you know, putting what they got into the music, into the show itself. I mean, yeah, everybody would like to make a little coin to make it worth their time to a certain degree, but, you know, it's, I don't know. I think I can speak for most of my friends in the music scene, and yes, we like getting paid, and we expect a certain thing, but at the same time, none of us got into this looking to get rich.
Yeah.
It's like, this was never a situation where I was looking at, like, you know, turning a profit, so to speak. And so it's, you know, the other thing is I've talked about when we've talked about other things in the past, other shows we've promoted. I mean, it really is in this whole community, and it's not this way in every city, but it really is in this whole community, and from the musicians to the promoters to the clubs, the venues, to the engineers, to the people that work in any way, shape, or form around the show. It really is about, like, you know, kind of having each other's back and picking each other up and doing things back and forth. And so I'd known what Tony was working on with the citywide thing for a little bit, and I was kind of chomping at the bit to get a chance to do one in some shape or form. And so when he called me, it wasn't really a matter of whether or not we were going to do it, it's what were we going to do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think for the guys that... We were literally just joking about this the other night. There are guys in town where, you know, I can't think of the last time I came out here to do one of these with you, by the way, where I wasn't promoting a show with, like, multiple different people from multiple different bands.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we do a lot. And there's guys who, you know, don't... We ask the guys we ask to play, or the girls we ask to play, because, A, we love their talent. We also like working with them. And if you don't have that kind of same mindset that we do about the community and about the scene and about everything else, then, frankly, we really don't really want to have anything to do with, you know, what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And so if you don't really have that sort of attitude, if it's literally about you show up, get paid, do your show, and go home, I don't want to work with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've passed on some talented people along the way for different reasons, because people we respect said that guy's going to be hard to work with, or it's going to be a problem. And you know, I mean, I don't know. I've got a real job that creates problems. I don't need, like, you know, problems from my other job that I enjoy.
Right.
You know, I've got kids that give me problems. I've got, you know, I've got life that gives me problems. I don't have to have that from, you know, this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I think partially that's, I mean, I've only been doing sound for a little over 3 years, I believe.
Wow.
It is. And I think that's one of the things that has gotten me to where I'm at, is the ability to just go with the punches and just get along with everybody so well. And that's translated into other things as well. But yeah, I completely agree with that. It's, you you typically tend to surround yourself with people that are easy to get along with and and easy to work with, and that's why I've chosen a lot of the people that I have chosen, except for this guy.
Yeah, whatever. and stuck with some people, right?
Yeah, not all of us can escape college.
That happened last time we did a podcast, so you know that, right?
Yeah. Oh, God.
You are here for that one. You running sound that night, or we're going to be able to just sit back and enjoy it? Or
I mean, I always get to sit back and enjoy it.
You've seen how Tony runs sound. Right?
Oh, all right.
I just sit back and enjoy it in the booth.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll be running the show that night. It's one of those things that, like, it's also meant to be, as much as I'm trying to make this a platform for everybody to come in and have fun and have a good time, I also try and have a good time on those, and that's why it. Honestly, I don't think you were able to make it for the singer-songwriter night, but
no, I was in Florida.
The vibe and just the environment was just so great, and everybody was just so happy and just like into just each other's company. Adam was here that night. Yeah. Adam Huckey, and Adam has always been like an older brother to me, and as a kind of a source of pride for me, because Adam was telling me how happy he was that I'm doing this and how just great the energy was that night. And that's kind of what we keep aiming for, is just having a good energy. And I'm not even a big Grateful Dead fan, but I know the way that I'm talking right now sounds like a Grateful Dead fan.
Very hidden.
Like, it's just about the energy, man. And just the life force that's at the shows.
You better translate that into like proper like American hippie terminology.
Yeah, because I know you could do it better than I can.
I think you're just talking about the idea of just really the feeling that you get from the show. And that while we're talking about it in a laid-back manner, you know that you're bringing in, A, professionals, B, people who are going to put on a good show and give you everything they got, and that the audience, you, the band, everybody's going to have a great time. In my opinion, if I'm not having a great time on stage, I can't expect the audience to have a great time.
Right.
And so it's like, that doesn't mean necessarily, you know, partying on stage. It means, like, just being able to, like, enjoying what you're doing. Enjoying the, and that's where the energy is you're talking about keeps coming out, sure. Is the idea of what you're putting into the room should come back at you.
Yeah, as a fan, that's one of the first things I pick up on. I mean, if I can see the band is up there having a great time, I'm immediately going to be joined right in. You know, it's like,
yeah.
But yeah, you can easily pick up if they're having fun up there or not. And
well, everybody he's named has done all these already, including through us and people I know you have booked in the future. All those bands have those sort of personalities and have that sort of energy they're putting out, and so it's like you can create that. I mean, it can't be contrived or fake, but you can create that. You can put that out there, and people can feed off that.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I'm playing at the Venice Cafe later tonight, and we always joke like, you can have 15 people in the Venice and have a great party, have a great show.
Absolutely.
Because first of all, you can't walk into a place and be sad. That it's impossible to walk in there and see how amazing it is and not be completely awestruck by it. And second of all, people that go there generally, they want you to put on a good show. They want you to kind of kick their ass musically, and they want to have a good time.
Right.
And so, and that's, you know, I've been playing there for years, and I will until Chad and Jeff tell me I can't play there anymore. So, it's, you know, you can put that energy out there, and I think that's what the guys we've got playing with us, their pedigrees speak for themselves as far as what they can do musically. But also, I like those dudes.
Yeah.
I like those guys. They're good at their craft, and they're good. They're good stage presence, and then they'll do the songs justice and put their own taste into it.
And then from my perspective, I've worked with all those dudes. Mm-hmm. Well, most of them, I believe, because I think you have something like 37 different musicians playing with you that night, somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah, probably on the way. Yeah.
But no, like, I've worked with most of them countless times, and they're just great guys to work with and just super easy to work with and just make my life really easy. And like I said, like one of the things is that I'm also here to have fun on those nights too, and not stress about the things that I typically have to stress about when I'm mixing.
I'm pretty pumped about that lineup for Jim and Stu. I love watching those two guys play it. The way they feed off of each other, along with the rest of the band, I mean, like they're just a lot of fun to watch play and just bring a lot of energy to the stage. And
it's funny, it's funny how I met those guys. I was playing in Lightning Bottle Band at the time. And this is early on. We might have been gigging out for a year or two at the time. We're doing a lot of blues, a lot of blues, a lot of like blues rock type of standards, classic rock stuff, a little taste of the Allman Brothers, a little taste of the Dead, but a lot more of that type of stuff. So we're playing like St. Charles and Soulard and Alton and places like that.
The Shanty, right?
We put the Shanty early on, yeah. And I love the Shanty. But this was at R.T. Wilder's gig in St. Charles. And we were playing there one night, and Jim Heger, who was our guitarist in the band, comes up to me and goes, "Hey, these guys just walked in with horn cases, so I went over and talked to them." And it's the guys who played the Sliders and played, you know, Chuck Berry and Johnny Johnson and all that stuff. And I go, here I am, you know, maybe I've been playing out in town a few years at this point. And I'm like, I'm not sure if that's really who those guys are. You got to watch out for that stuff. And this is me who sits in with a lot of people now saying this. But anyway, they introduce themselves. Said, "Well, we'd love to have you help out a couple of tunes. And how about Love Light and something else? I can't remember what it is, but I remember Love Light being one of them." And they're like, "Yeah, we're good with that one." And I'm like, "Cool." So they got up, and I'm like, I made the really jackass. I'm young, and this is early on, but I did the whole, "Hey, watch us for the changes," but because there's so much that changes in this song.
Please tell me you said, "And try to keep up."
I didn't say "and try to keep up." I was so close to saying "and try to keep up." It was there on the tip of my tongue. I said, "Just watch us for the changes. There's a couple of things we do a little bit different with this one." They go, "Okay." And they just, of course, just literally blew us off the stage at that point. And I'm like, "Okay, that's legit. That's, there who they were." Fast forward like 6 months later, I think I was seeing, I can't remember if it was Little Feet or Rat Dog at the pageant, and because they played with both of them, and I saw them both do that at the pageant, and all of a sudden they're on stage and it's a sold out show at the pageant. I'm like, "Hey, this is really weird. Those are the guys that played with us in St. Charles the other night." And then fast forward years later, I'm in the Scandaleros and getting to know Stu and running with Jim a couple of different times here and there, and Stu played with Scandaleros a lot. He actually, when I was in Florida this summer, he subbed for me. But Scandaleros was gig that night, and they're just they're great players, and they've got they've played with you talk about legends, and they've rubbed shoulders with the greats, and they, like you said, their stage presence and their energy, they're fun as hell to be around, and
I think I got to know them more through playing a lot with Jeremiah Johnson and recently and stuff. So
I think those are the two that out of everybody that's playing that night, I think those are the only two that I haven't worked with.
Right.
I think what's that pageant show that you're referring to whenever you saw Rat Dog? Like, what year was that?
Oh, God, that'd have been...
90s?
No, this was late, early 2000s, maybe 2000...
Because the only reason I asked
2003,
is,
maybe? 2002. They would know, obviously, better than I would. But yeah. I can't remember. It was really early on.
The only reason I asked is my sister, before she moved on to working with Modesky Martin Wood and Keith Leon and John Mayer and all that stuff... worked at the pageant and brought me home a Rat Dog shirt, and it'd be very ironic if it's the same show.
Right.
I think the Rat Dog played the pageant a couple of times in that stretch, so it wouldn't be surprising if it was at all.
Yeah.
But they've done a lot of work around town with a lot of people, and and it's weird. One of the things I love about the Grateful Dead is I discovered so much music through that. I found Miles Davis because of the Grateful Dead. I found, as a kid from Arkansas, I found Merle Haggard because of the Grateful Dead. And so it's like, the weird connection to them is that Bob Weir was a huge fan of Johnny Johnson, St. Louis, piano legend who played with Chuck Berry for Johnny Be Good. And they were Johnny's horn section, and that was the connection. And then, all of a sudden they kind of linked up, and the way I understand the story is that they were, suddenly they were playing certain Rat Dog dates in the Midwest and things like that. And, it really is... And I think that's probably a little bit where my philosophy about that whole community thing, also about music, comes from, is that, that band was all-encompassing, and the idea of they wanted to bring in jazz, bluegrass, rock, folk, blues, all this, and they admired artists from all that whole thing. If they got the chance to play with any of them, from world music and anything else, all of a sudden they had those guys on stage with them. And that's, I'd like to think that if I was somehow or another ever able to translate doing this citywide sound show and playing at Madison Square Garden,
it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
If I could ever translate that, seriously, if I was ever if I was ever in a spot where I was had access to play with world-renowned players from different, I think I would freak people out by the different worlds I pull them from different things, and be like, "I really want you to come in and do this," and that would be fun to do.
Definitely.
I feel like you kind of do that already in the city. I remember, I think the first time I met you or saw you was when you were playing at the Shanty, when I first moved to the city, and I think you guys might have known me from doing sound at the Oyster Bar a couple times, and so I kind of helped you guys, because obviously there wasn't a PA there or anything, and I just, one of the things I've noticed over the years is that it doesn't matter who you are, but you, I feel like you've kind of embraced that idea just on a local scale.
Yeah, I have.
And it's kind of exemplified in the fact that Al is doing Grateful Dead tunes with you.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
man. Which is really cool. It's funny though that you keep mentioning Johnny Johnson, because I remember very, very vividly the first show I ever ran sound for in St. Louis was a Johnny Johnson tribute, and Johnny's wife, I believe, was there. And she came up to me afterwards, and she's like, "It sounded so great. You did such a good job on his music and all that." Little did she know, I had never run a big show, not even a big show, but like a decent show before in my life. And also, joke's on you, Brett Johnson, because you didn't know that either.
I love that this comes out like this.
He had posted something on Facebook, and I recently moved to the city, and they had just bought that PA.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "Hey, Facebook world."
He's kind of
much like he does
work.
Still yeah. today. Yeah. He's like, "Facebook world, do I know any sound guys out there?" And as I'm untucking my blue shirt at Best Buy, I read this post, and I'm like, "Oh, yeah. Dude, I went to school for audio engineering like 10 years ago. I can totally do it." And so he's like, "Yeah, come on in." And yeah, I just kind of lied about how good I was at it until I got there.
No.
And it was ever since then. It was like, "Hey, let's do sound at the Oyster Bar," and then it just progressed. I kind of lied to Josh Lumford also about how good I was.
I think I was there for that. Actually.
Yeah. And actually, that goes back to Adam Huckey, and he introduced me to Josh Lumford, and I kind of just like said a lot of big words that I probably didn't know what they meant.
Yeah, all the words, all the best words.
Yeah. And then Josh was in a bind and was like, "Hey, I need you to come run sound for me." And I was like, "Oh, right on, I'll be there." And so I came in and might have shit my pants a little bit when I looked at the PA and realized that it was a sold-out show here and everything. And
I think I was also here for this. Yeah,
it was New Master Sounds.
Yeah, I know it was, yeah.
Yeah, New Master Sounds and Dopapod. And,
I think Josh put "Don't Fuck Up" on the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
On his phone and flashed it at you.
Yeah, you did. And it was pretty great. But then it finally came out, like, a year later of me working with Limpert countless times, lots of brotherly fights in the sound booth of him smashing my face into the glass, blown subs, everything. It came out a little while later that, like, I hadn't been doing this as long as he had thought. And he's like, "Man, I never would have hired you if I would have known that." He's like, "I'm glad I did."
Right.
But he literally told me, he's like, "I never would have hired you if I would have known that you weren't more experienced."
Can I tell the story? Can I tell the story about the
You had that room sounding better than any touring sound engineer.
This one? with New Master Sounds? It's too bad I can't make it sound that good anymore, huh?
Yeah. One and done, buddy.
Yeah, you can.
So, we're loading in.
This is at the Oyster Bar.
At the Oyster Bar. We're loading in for a gig, and I can't remember what show it was we were playing, if it was just a
random Josh, pay specific attention to this story.
So, we're loading in, and it was going to be the second or third time you'd worked with us, and I think you'd just gotten the job full-time, and at the Oyster Bar, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you had just picked up like the regular, and I can't think of how it came up. I think we were complaining about a guy we'd worked with at a festival, sound guy, and you go, "Yeah, I'm never going to be that, like, bitchy, complaining, like, cussing an angry sound guy. I'm never going to be that guy.
I'm never going to be that Josh Whimpert sound guy."
I don't remember you saying it specifically that way, but and Josh is definitely not the worst one out of all of them. There's other guys that we can name. But you said, "I'm never going to be that guy no matter what." And then fast forward, 2 weeks later, we're loading in.
Oh, that soon?
It was 2 weeks. 2 weeks. It took 2 weeks then working nightly shows at the Oyster Bar. I come in and he's on stage. He's literally throwing cables down. He's like, "Son of a..." He's like going on and on about the previous night, the guy that didn't do this right, or the sound quality.
I think what it was you were walking in through the side door and I was patching the back of the rack. And some of the...
That's a real thing. That's not a made-up term. Don't get technical here, bro.
Some of the lovely patrons of the Oyster Bar decided they could leave through where the band was loading in and where I was building the PA. And that's when the angry sound guy came out at me. And I'm pretty sure I threw a cable and I just like walked away. And I was like, "I'm not trying to work here or anything."
Yeah. And I came in the door as he was throwing the cable. And then you were complaining about the people coming through the crowd. Then you transition into complaining about whoever put away something the night before or whatever. I can't remember what it was. Something from the night before.
Regardless. And in 2 weeks, the transformation happened.
I'm so glad you said regardless, not irregardless.
Irregardless.
So,
I set down my amp and the pedal board, and I started laughing right away, and I go, hey, remember that time, like 2 weeks ago, and he said, I'm never going to be that angry, cursing, throwing things sound guy? He did all three of them in a matter of like 30 seconds during the show. I hadn't even started yet. And he's like, damn, you're right.
Oh, man, the times that we've had at that place. The I still think the best was when I politely asked you to escort a human being out the side door at an Andy Frasco show. That might have been the best.
So, I was playing with Andy Frasco, and I literally just finished a song, and I was coming off stage for three songs to go back up, and this really intoxicated guy that was about 6'5", 6'6", kept...
I think this was when the mosh pit broke out, too, wasn't it?
That happened, like, an hour later.
Okay.
But he kept falling into the sub and the speaker, and I watched Tony ask him first, then tell him harder again, like, you gotta stop knocking at our equipment, man. He's like, he warned him, like, if it happens again, you're gone. And then I think Brett gave him a talking to as well. And as
he
I'm,
had ample opportunities to
get Oh, yeah, there was together. Multiple different times, and he just couldn't get it together. And as I'm tipping, I'm like, at 1 foot on the first step down, Tony throws this guy at me, has him by the back of the belt and by the back of the shirt, and throws him at me and says, he's gone, get him out. And in one motion, I caught him, kicked the door up with the back of my heel, and threw him. And it was like watching a guy try to fly. He got both arms in the air like this. And then smack, hit the concrete like a chalk cut out like around his body. And then Brett yells behind me, now close the door! And I'm like, I'm sorry! And I shut the door.
I think I had my back to the whole situation after I threw him at you, and all I hear is you just go, sorry!
I'm not a violent person. That guy was like face down on the sidewalk. I like splatted it. And I was, the best part was I was married at the time, and I told my wife to stand behind Tony. I'm like, this is going to be kind of chaotic here. It's going to be kind of nuts. Stay behind the they blocked off the area where the PA was. I'm like, stay behind him. And as I shut the door and yelled, sorry, I looked at her, and she's just looking at me with this horrified look on her face. And I'm like, I have no idea what I was supposed to do there. I literally caught him in one motion that was out the door. And she's like, I can't believe I just watched you throw a grown man flying through.
You're possessed by Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Woo! So you would have done that when you threw him out. That would have just made
it. Would have been a sorry. It would have been a woo.
That would have been awesome.
But
yeah.
The to bring it, like, we get, like you said, we're going to go off track here. And
I knew it was going to happen. I'm surprised that it took this long though.
Well,
45 minutes in, and we just got off track.
I don't know if we just got off track. We've been off track for a little bit here. But,
aliens, y'all.
Yeah. Aliens, y'all.
We in the spirit of aliens, y'all, we will be doing cubic sets of Grateful Dead Thursday night. Yeah, see how he said that was a transition right there?
It's funny. All right, so we're going to get back off track because last night we thought we saw Neptune while we were watching, while I was, I guess maybe I should have been inside mixing, but I was sitting outside with Murray, and we were talking about the other podcast that you guys do, and we thought we saw Neptune. I didn't know that it was Neptune, but I pulled out an app that showed me that it thought it was Neptune.
Time out. Anyone else thinking of the line from like Griswold Family Christmas Vacation? Was like, that's the light on top of the nitric glycerin plant.
No, I think that might have. I think Murray might have said something along those lines at one point.
Grandpa.
Yeah, and then they like started to take off, and I was like, oh, it's definitely a UFO. And I was like, where is Carson when you need him?
All right.
Like he would tell us for sure if it's UFO, and then it flew overhead, and it was clearly a plane. It's just how that type of stuff
works.
It
wasn't identified yet. It was technically a UFO.
At the point that I said it, it was technically a UFO, yes.
That's Josh Wattler chiming in from the corner, by the way.
I'll shut up.
Oh, no. Don't stop.
But I wanted to take just a little bit and talk about the dead thing in St. Louis, because I know that that's kind of what we're... A lot of cities have a dead tribute band, and a lot of cities just have, like, you know, a scene. But as I've come to understand, we're unique in the sense that the city has several and very, very good, you know, Grateful Dead tribute bands. And when we started Alligator Wine, it was kind of on a whim. It was a year ago this week, actually. And it was supposed to be kind of a one-off, and it took off. And then one of the first questions we all sit down and ask each other was, you know, is this going to be okay? First of all, is it going to work if we do this? Is there an audience for it? Because there's so much... You can go find Grateful Dead music in St. Louis several nights a week. And then second of all, is it going to be okay? Is it going to go over well? We're friends with the other guys in the other band. And so,
Is it going to be too much?
Yeah. Well, and also, just like, you know, I mean, you know,
is it going to be too much, meaning for the community, for the crowd?
Right.
But also, is it going to be like, you know, are we stepping on anybody's toes?
Right.
Those bands have been around for a long time, and we're friends with all of them. Kind of got the blessing from all of them over time, but it really is unique in the sense that St. Louis, you know, I'm leaving here. When I leave here in a little bit, I'm going to drop off gear at the Venice Cafe, and then I'm hustling over to watch my friends do the Starfire Festival, which is also celebrating Garcia's birthday, and it's the guys from the Mighty Pines with Brad Sarno and Joe Winzy on drums. And so, I mean, it's a huge lineup doing that at the Tampa Cowboy, but it's another Garcia thing. And then we're doing tonight a third set at Venice that's going to be all Garcia and the Dead, and I know we'll have a crowd. It's St. Louis is really, you know, love it or hate it, and I realize there's mixed feelings out there about all of it, but love it or hate it, those people do support live music. They do go out to shows all the time, and you know, it's... If you'd have told me 10 years ago, as much for being a little bit of a Grateful Dead fan, as Tony likes to put it, I've loved that band for years and years and years. Yeah. And I saw
you guys Wednesday at Oyster Bar when Sean played Voodoo Players Acoustic Garcia Night, and that place was packing. It stormed and everything else, and didn't stop anybody from coming out.
And the funny thing was that we had a lot. A bulk of those people were at our show on Tuesday night too.
Right.
And so, I mean, it was like, and it was a different show. What Sean did was a different show altogether. I mean, he did, his spin on it the other night was fantastic, and with the acoustic approach and the players he had doing it. We're not going to try to do that. Even with our acoustic set here, it's going to be different than what that was.
Yeah.
And
Just to clarify, when I just said, oh God, I said, oh God, because I had like PTSD flashbacks of storming and mixing at the Oyster Bar.
Oh yeah.
It's all, it's the worst.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
It's funny though, because like those people were out in force on Tuesday night. The inside of Possible Moon was packed, and then like we went out on a set break. I didn't realize that the entire sidewalk was packed outside too.
And that's something that like I kind of wanted to speak to also, is that like, so like you're talking about all these different tributes in St. Louis and these different groups that do do Grateful Dead stuff, and it's as you know, and as a lot of people know, I'm not a big Grateful Dead fan. I don't dislike the Grateful Dead by any means. I'm just not a big Grateful Dead fan. Like there is a big population in St. Louis. However, there's this, I don't know, like there's something about those bands in St. Louis that do it. Like you guys, Jake's Leg, Schwag, you know, all these bands, and then Shauder when he does that stuff. Like all that stuff really, I don't know, like everybody that does it well, and there's just such a great community surrounding it.
It's
so awesome.
Well, then Thursday night, just because I can't get enough, Thursday night I went to the Tommy Cowboy to go see Scott and Lee, the guys from two different touring tribute acts, do an acoustic set, two sets of acoustic, like just straight Jerry tunes, and they had a big crowd, and it was a completely different crowd. Outside of Dan Jameson and Brian Baird, who was there working sound, I didn't know anybody else in the crowd. They were all older people, like a lot older than I am, and you know, people that I recognized a couple of faces from 20 North when I was the 19-year-old kid that was there hanging out, and they came out, you know, like they knew these guys. These guys were a little bit older than us, and they knew them, and I heard them, but I went out and checked it out, and they sounded great, and the people that were there had a great time, and the show was 8 to 11, so they got to go home, you know, at a decent hour. And it's like Dan James and I were joking about the other night that there's, you could literally do Jerry every night for the next, you know, couple of weeks in St. Louis and not get really bored with it. If you like that type of thing, you could really do it and not get bored with it, because it's going to feel and sound different each night.
And the people that do it are all such good musicians. Yeah. Like they could just pick out anything and just be like, let's go do this. And or even just call it out on a whim, you know?
Yeah. I have no idea how the hell I fell into playing with the people that I get to play with. For sure. I talk about it all the time, and it really is genuine. I don't take that for granted, that I get to play with the guys that I get to play with around town. It really is something different.
Well, and I feel the same way just as far as working. You know, I feel so lucky to be in such a great scene and just surrounded by so many great people. And then I also feel the same way with the guys I play with also. You know, like we have a lot of great talent here in St. Louis. And I guess to kind of tie it all back together, that really is the purpose of the Citywide Psalms. It's just a great showcase. And I mean, we're busy typically with, you know, national shows or private events or whatever. But this is a great way to just like, hey, let's get a bunch of awesome musicians together. And one of the things we're working on now is, so actually, real quick, I'll talk about next month. Is next month is September 21st, I believe it is. And it's going to be our country theme night, and it's Les Gruff and the Billy Goats, with Elliot Pearson is opening, and Emily Wallace is going to be mixed in there somehow, doing whatever she wants because she's awesome. And so it's going to be incredible. But then down the road, we've got these awesome ideas planned to incorporate. We're going to do a punk night. We're talking about doing
nice,
and we've got some ideas to incorporate some other punk aspects of St. Louis into that. And then I've got an idea for another night that's going to be really awesome. There's just a lot of really cool stuff going on with it, and it just kind of going back to what we were just talking about, though, is that there are so many great musicians in St. Louis, and this is just our way of kind of showcasing it and giving back to the city. I mean, there's tons of ways that you can experience live music and not be as pretentious sounding as I sound right now about like being some fucking savior to give back to the community.
No, I don't think it's from up there. I think it's more like the idea that I think we're both very appreciative of the fact that somebody asked me when I was doing Food on the River with Sean. We did the Beauty Fest at on the River like a week back, and somebody asked me about I can't remember how they phrased it, about the network that some of us have of players and family. First of all, it's not a network; it's a group of friends.
Right.
I'm like, you make it sound really business.
We didn't get on LinkedIn.
Yeah, exactly. This is not how this worked. And so, like, they're a group of friends, and I'm just fortunate to have a lot of friends that are that kind of talent. I mean, you know, you mentioned Emily Wallace. I mean, I'll spend just a couple of minutes talking about. We're releasing the Scandaleros album soon, our original band, and the theme of the whole thing, as I think we talked about before, is that we wanted to bring in the people we wanted to have on it. And kind of celebrate St. Louis music. And
speaking of that, I think you told me I was supposed to come in and play kazoo on that.
We're done recording. Man, you missed it. I think I called you, texted you, sent you. Like,
now I'm never playing Madison Square Gardens.
Yeah, it's me. It's me that's going to go to Madison Square Garden. But, yeah, we had our band, and then we asked Emily, you're never sure when you're going to ask people because everybody's busy, and you know, you're asking them to give up their time. And everybody we asked Emily Wallace, we asked Carrie Liston, we asked Hillary Fitz, we asked Adam, Aaron, and Austin from Funky Butt, and we asked Spanky, and all of them came in, killed their parts. Didn't just come in and go, all right, I'll put in my hour here and then get out. Like, they contributed and, like, you know, came up with their own lines and what they wanted to do, how they wanted to work the harmonies, how they wanted to work different things. And, you know, I'm excited about how that's going to sound. I've heard a lot of the rough tracks already. I'm excited about that coming out, and we'll definitely talk to you again about the CD release show when we get that. But, you know, we just to kind of like plug what the Scandaleros have going on, because I'd be foolish not to. That's our original band. We've got some big events coming up. We're going to be opening, or not opening, we're going to be a part of the Dirty Dozen Brass Band and Dumps Defunct show at the Atomic Cowboy.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we got added on that awesome. Like 2 weeks ago. We're on the Green Tree Festival in Kirkwood in September. We're on Funk Fest 12? Funk Fest again this year. We're doing the Friday night at the Rock House. We got Philip Palooza coming up down the road.
Are you guys doing
the Oyster Bar, not the Rock House.
Erase the Trace here?
Yeah, we're doing the Trash Bash, Erase the Trace Trash Bash at the end of this month with Big Mike and Mom's Kitchen and Stone Sugar Shakedown. It's another big lineup. So we've got some, along with our regular monthly rotation of, you know, fun stuff we've got going on, we're actively involved in some pretty cool stuff coming up, you know, down the road here in the next several months, really through the winter. And, you know, it seems like the great time for us to have an album coming out and to have merch coming out. We're doing an event. We get to travel down to Bloomfield, Missouri.
That's not a real place.
It's a real town.
Is it?
Yeah, it's, you know, they made a TV show in black and white about it. Shut up. And so we get to travel down there for a Schlafly event and play during the eclipse. And you know, that's really cool to me to get to play during the eclipse. That whole weekend's nuts. We're playing at the Darkening of the Sun Festival on Friday with a big, huge, you know, lineup, and then have to come back in town that night for a show here in town. They play Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all through the eclipse stuff. And so it really is kind of like, and then Toco Festival we've got as well. So,
you know who else is playing during the eclipse? Ozzy Osbourne.
I heard about this last night at our house. We have people to watch the Fish show.
Yeah.
I didn't invite Eugene like Fish.
I'm pretty sure he has also played Madison Square Garden.
You're right.
So you guys are basically the same person.
Exactly the same person. I yell in a British accent sometimes when I drink whiskey.
Sharon!
Yeah, exactly.
Get the dogs!
Yeah. Sounds exactly like home.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, you've got a lot of stuff coming up. Yeah, but
staying pretty busy.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to everything about how great the scene is.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing is that, like, a bunch of those shows, we have different guests joining us along the way. Like, I know Spanky's playing some of them on keys. Al's doing a couple of them on keys with us. I think we have the Horns on a couple of those shows with us. And that's not even including, like, the City Release show, which we'll have all those people we just mentioned and probably a few other guests along the way for that, too.
And speaking of the Horn guys, like, what's really cool, kind of going back to how you talked about, like, how everybody would just come in for, like, your studio work. And,
yeah.
Like, you just, that's how great our community is you literally just text somebody and you're like, hey, you're going to come be on our album. I did the exact same thing with Hucky.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, we've got, we're at Gaslight recording for the Daisy Head EP. And I text Hucky and I was like, hey, dude, you want to come in and, do some just a couple horn lines real quick for us, and it was over text message, so I can't tell, but it was the text message equivalent of not batting an eye. And he literally just texted me back and was like, yeah man, I'm there. And it's, you know, it's not like, oh, I'll pay you this dollar amount, or of course I would have had Bud Light Lime there,
but it's the minimum you can do.
Yeah, but like it's not even a question of that, it's just what people in the community are willing to do for each other and help each other that way. And that's kind of what I meant earlier when I was saying, like, I'm not, like, trying to, like, sound like I'm trying to do this great thing for St. Louis music, because that's not what it's about. I'm just fortunate enough to be in a position where I could make something like this happen, and so we just all get to...
You develop relationships with people along the way as you've done this.
Yeah.
They want to be a part of it.
And we just get to party and have a good time and just enjoy each other's company and great stuff. To go back to the Daisy ad, to a shameless plug, we're doing Undercover Weekend at Del Mar Hall, August 26th.
Nice.
We'll be doing the Gorillaz, and it is, I can tell you right now, we've been doing rehearsals for it, and it's going to be really rad. Yeah. I'm super excited for it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going
to be a wild weekend.
Yeah. I just found out, though, that I apologize to Jordan Heimberger about this the other day. I just found out that the School of Rock kids are doing the same night as us, and they will be in the green room, the same green room that we are. So I apologized to him already.
That could not go wrong at all.
It's an education. That's what they're out for.
Go learn today.
You're going to learn something.
We'll come out and party with these guys on Thursday the 10th. Alligator Wine with special guest... Jim, Stuart Williams, Matt,
Matt McKibben.
Yeah, and Al Holiday, again, part of Four Hands, Citywide Sounds, going on over here at Old Rock House.
Doors are at 8, we decided on this one, I believe. Doors are at 8, show starts at 8:30.
Yeah, we'll go neighborhood at 8:30.
Ballpark. It's a Grateful Dead show, who knows.
So you can do the math.
Or not.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. It's been a whole lot of fun.
Thanks for having us, man. We
appreciate it. And I'll see you all soon.
Yeah. Thanks, Shane. We'll see you Thursday.
Hell yeah. Thanks, guys.
Rock, Paper, Podcast.
Rock, Paper, Podcast.
Rock, Paper, Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.